tonight, and we do give everyone a warm welcome in their service this evening in the name of the Lord. And I just want to thank each one for the gift this morning. I appreciate it. Me and Sharon does, and the family. And may the Lord bless each one, praise God. And the Bible says, as much as you've did it unto the least of these, my little ones, you've done it unto me. Praise God. Also, just a reminder that our sister Sharon, at the end of the service, will be taking down any details for those that's going to the dinner. There's at least 20 people so far that I know of that's going. And it'd be nice if everyone can go and see Sister Sharon afterwards, what you want. And some already have told her, but those that maybe haven't yet, see Sister Sharon afterwards, praise God. We're turning again to the book of Daniel, chapter 5, and we also want to read verse 11. And let's read verse 10 and verse 11 of chapter 5. And we want to remember also Brother Jeff's testifying today as well. And we thank God for an opportunity he has to give us testimony. We will pray God will really be with him. Let's stand on our feet while we read two verses of Daniel 5. And we will be going through other verses, but just for a way of a reading tonight, and we're on the handwriting on the wall. Meeny, meeny, tickle your farsen. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Wed in the balance, and found wanting. What a message written by the hand of God. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house. And the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not the thoughts trouble thee, nor let the countenance be changed. Verse 11. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of his father, in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. Our Heavenly Father, we bow before thee tonight again in the matchless name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for this, the privilege this evening, that we have access to come into this house freely and open this book and are profound to speak from it the words of truth. Lord, we thank you for this freedom. Lord, we pray this evening that thou would be with us and that thou would bless thy word and give us the context of the text tonight. We ask you'll open your word to us and grant us wisdom and understanding in these great truths. Father, we do pray also for Brother Jeff this evening, that the hand of the Lord will be mightily upon him. And oh God, that thou'll touch his lips in the name of Jesus Christ, and that there be many that slander the Lord. Father, bless those that's gathered here tonight. Bless perhaps those that's listening in. And may you do them good and strengthen them and bless them. And if any's not saved, that's hearing your word, may the Spirit of Almighty God move them and bring them to the saving knowledge of the truth. In Jesus Christ's name. We ask again for those that's sick at this time. We pray, Lord, for each and every one that's laid aside sick, that thou indeed will touch them in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for all the backsliders, thou will restore them in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask for those that need a financial breakthrough, that thou will grant it in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I take the promised Holy Ghost to help me now. And I thank you, you do, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. As soon as King Belshazzar profaned the vessels of the Lord, the divine judgment was given. And you read through from these verses from chapter 5, verse 1 to 11, you read that God supernaturally came in and wrote on the wall, on the plaster. What a thing that is. The only thing you know in modern times like that was in the times of Brother Branham, when the angel of the Lord came in and wrote right in the church the things that was going to be preached and draw them circles of the church ages. The seven circles, and the last one was total darkness. And that's the age we're living in today. The Laodicean age, praise God. And thank God there's no light outside of Christ and his word. And here this king was warned, and his knees and his joints smote one of another. He was all shook up at the handwriting on the wall. His two knees knocked. He knew that he had done wrong. And here again we see the same process that Nebuchadnezzar did. Belshazzar calls for his wise men, his magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, soothsayers, but they couldn't interpret the tongues. The writing on the wall, the wise men failed to interpret it as they did before in Daniel chapter 2, verses 1 through. They failed to interpret it then, and they failed to interpret it now. And the true reason they failed was that it was a message from God. And when a message comes from God, only a man of God can interpret that message. God's message must be by the man he's chosen, and it must be in the season he has chosen. And that's God's order, and God never breaks that and never changes that, for he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. These men didn't have the know-how to interpret it, these tongues, for they weren't gifted and they weren't prophets of God. But there was a prophet in the land. But old Belshazzar forgot about him. Even though this queen and the wife of Nebuchadnezzar had told him, and they say he was 15 years old when Nebuchadnezzar went into his insanity. Belshazzar, they say, was 15 years old, and he knew for 7 years that God judged Nebuchadnezzar, and God made Nebuchadnezzar eat grass like an oxen on the ground. And even though he knew that, he still was that ignorant and stubborn that he failed to call for Daniel. I tell you, it's not something. People will turn to everything, but they'll not turn to God. It's not the days we're living in. They don't want God. They don't want to retain God in their knowledge. The true reason they failed, praise God. Wise men, handwriting greatly troubled the king. His countenance was changed, and all laughing and joking was over now. I tell you, the great party was broke up suddenly. The great party was broke up with this mighty visitation of the handwriting of God. Can you imagine? They were gathered. There was over 1,000 of them gathered, by the way. And they're having a big time. And they've took the vessels of the kings from the temple that they were forbidden to touch, forbidden to use. Even though Nebuchadnezzar stole them away, he never used them. But this Belshazzar went one further. And he went so far that he grieved the Spirit of God for the final time. And God writes him a message on the wall. And no one can interpret that message, only the prophet of God. I tell you, it must have been something, and his knees shook, and he was in fear. Imagine when you hear the message for the last time. Imagine when you hear the call for the last time. And imagine if God speaks to you in a language you don't even know, and God has to send someone to interpret it to you. It's not like this Bible. I tell you, people say, I read it, but I see nothing in it. They can't. It's only by the Spirit of God you can know this book. Amen. It's only by the Spirit of God that opens your understanding that you can see this book. And Daniel the prophet said, it shall come to pass in the last days that knowledge shall be increased. And these things he said, even in the book of Daniel, which are sealed up, are to be revealed and made known at the end time. And doesn't the word of God say in Revelation 10:7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the message of God shall be finished, declared, made known, as he has revealed his servants the prophets. We're living in the last days. We're living in the days when God took the seals of this book, and he's revealed this book to his own people. And I tell you, we need to hear what God said. And this king here, he heard it, but he was too late. He'd done the thing that he shouldn't have done. He went too far. He went overboard. And he tried to mock God and laugh at God. But God wasn't having it. All the jokes stopped. He was filled with terror. This was a supernatural writing, not that of any human. Supernatural and unexpected, and the king feared. But amid the chaos of the banquet, the shouts of the king and the murmuring of the guests, the queen entered and spoke wise advice. While others had forgotten Daniel,
She remembered it. The queen remembered Daniel. And once Daniel was sent for, they say Daniel was sick, that 65 years had passed since the interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. They say that Daniel was 88 years of age here when he came in. No longer the young man he was when they captured him and when he had first made the interpretation. And this is what they say when they came in before him. But the queen remembered Daniel. How could you forget him? But Belshazzar, you see, even though he knew what happened to his grandfather, and even though he knew these things, his ears were cloth, and his eyes couldn't see. Is this not the age we're living in today? For the Bible says, in the days of the Laodicean age, that they're lukewarm, and they say, we've great riches, we've need of nothing. And God says back to them, you're wretched, you're miserable, you're blind, you're poor, naked, and you don't even know it. That's this age. That's the age we're in. Daniel, look at verse 13 of Daniel 5. Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, art thou that Daniel, which art the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jure? And I have even heard of thee, that the Spirit of God is in thee. So he knew about Daniel, but he still never asked for him. First, he asked for these other things first. Why would men depend upon a broken stick when you have the solid foundation? Why would men seek after false gods when you have the real one true God? I tell you, he grieved the Spirit of God here. Verse 15, and now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof, but they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee that thou canst make interpretation to dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and with a chain of gold about thy neck, and shalt be the third in the ruler of my kingdom. He forgot that Nebuchadnezzar had already put this man in a position. He forgot that Nebuchadnezzar had already read him in garments. He forgot all these things. I tell you, people can forget quick. When God does things, people can forget quick. They can forget quick the things God's done. We lest not forget what God's done. The Bible says, tell your children's children the things the Lord has done. Put in remembrance of the things the Lord has done. Psalm says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Amen.
The Lord wants us to talk about the things he's done. The Lord wants us to remind our children of the things the Lord's done. And we're not to keep a secret either in this 20th century, the things God's done either. And God's done a great thing. We know that tonight. We can't deny that tonight. Many deny it, but we can't deny it. God did come on the scene. God did visit this generation. God did send a supernatural sign with a supernatural voice, with supernatural vindication. We can't deny it. We should never be ashamed of it. We don't worship it. We don't praise it and glorify it after it in the way of worship. But we expect it that it was God and sent from God. Here we see Daniel knew how empty were all these promises. He knew the empty promise of Belshazzar, for he saw by the handwriting on the wall that the empire of Babylon was doomed and the king Belshazzar was powerless to fulfill them. So what did Daniel apply? Daniel starts out and he rebukes this man. Daniel takes this opportunity and he tells him straight. Now remember, Daniel's 88 years of age and he is here. Daniel's no time to play games. Daniel's no time to play church. Daniel already knows what the writing means. Daniel already knows what the message is going to be. The next man's finished and he's grieved the Spirit of God for the last time. And here we are in verse 17 of 5. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards till another, yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation. O king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father, and here he's reminding him, a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, languages trembled and feared before him, whom he would slew, and whom he kept alive, and whom he would set up, and whom he would pull down. Did not my dad pray it in his prayer this morning in the closing of this service, these very writings? But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was exposed from his kingly throne And they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. And they fed him in the grass like an oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And you know, when we took chapter 4, that his hair grew out like an eagle's feathers, and his nails grew out like eagle's claws. He was like a wild animal for 7 years. Now, when you see Daniel, the faithful prophet, as he was, took advantage of this situation to reprove this king. And I want you to see this rebuke in verse 22. And thou, his son, and we know there's no word for son, grandson or grandfather, so he's a grandson really, but the Bible's calling him a son. O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vassals of the house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and of brass and of iron, of wood and stone, and see not, nor hear nor know, that the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, has thou not glorified? God was angry for him because he gave the praise to another. God was angry with him because he gave the glory to another. That's why God was angry with him. First of all, he took the vessels that he was forbidden to take, and he handled the things he should never have handled, and he tried to do the thing that only a priest or deed of Almighty God could do, and he got himself in trouble. It's a bit like when somebody touched the Ark of the Covenant that wasn't deemed to touch it. God smote them down in the day. I tell you, it's a serious thing to tamper with the things of God. And there's men in the world today, and these brothers that study Bibles and all know what I'm talking about. They've took the Word of God and they've profaned it, and they've wrote another book, and they've took scriptures out, and they've added wee sayings in, and they've tampered with the Word of God, and God will judge them. And I tell you, this world that writes books against the scripture and writes books against God's servants and wants to tell tales on them and stories on them that are misbecoming of them, God will judge them. Amen. For the word of God says, touch not mine anointed, nor do my servants nor prophets no harm. For a banner and a millstone was put about your neck, and you're cast into the sea. Then, verse 24, then was the part of the hand sent from him, and his writing was written. I tell you, there was no more joking now. He had the wine in him, but his knees still knocked. He was having a big party, but the party time was over. And I tell you, this world thinks it's having a big time. And you say, where do you get that in scripture? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. They did eat, they did drink, they married, they were given in marriage until the flood came and they knew it not. Is that this very day we're living in? That they don't want to know God. They want to take God out of everything. They want to take God out of your schools, out of everything. They don't want God. They're offended at this, they're offended at that. But they'll wear the rainbow badge, and they'll wear the rainbow collars, and they'll wear the rainbow armbands, and it's rainbow this and rainbow something else. And they're representing a homosexuality which God condemns, which God will judge, which God will bring into condemnation, for the Bible says he will. Daniel reminds Belshazzar what had happened before to the king Nebuchadnezzar as a punishment for his pride. They say Belshazzar was about 15 years old when Nebuchadnezzar recovered from his insanity, which lasted for 7 years. 7 years as an ox, 7 years as an animal in the field, 7 years the rain from heaven fell upon him, 7 years for his hair to grow out like an eagle, 7 years for his nails to grow like the eagle's claws to grow, 7 years, but yet God, through his prophet, told him, even though you have 7 years, God will restore you, God will bless you, and you're going to call upon the name of the Most High God. And Nebuchadnezzar had a mighty conversion at the very last, and he prayed the God of heaven. Thank God for it. There's hope. Thank God there's hope. But here's a man, Belshazzar's no hope. His message is different. His is a message that he'll not be saved. His is a message that he's lost. I tell you, that's like the souls that was outside the ark. When God came down and closed the door in the ark was still there. Noah was still there. There was no rain there. And for 7 days, there they were outside the ark. They couldn't be saved. They weren't going to be saved. They had their chance. They spurned the Holy Spirit for the last time. And this generation's doing and it will come.
Amen.
And there's a great day of tribulation coming on this earth. Such as the world has never seen before. The Bible calls it the time of Jacob's trouble. And as we go through this book of Daniel, we're going to get into it. And you're going to see it from the Word of God here. And you're going to see that this book is some book. You see when I'm studying this, there's so many people have tried to discredit the book of Daniel. But there's too many scriptures that refer to it. And even Jesus did. Thank God he vindicates his word. This Belshazzar failed to learn from these lessons he had been taught. And even went to do the sins that his grandfather wouldn't even do. Not even Nebuchadnezzar done the things Belshazzar done. And in Isha and the vassals of the temple, though Nebuchadnezzar's pride caused him to undergo divine training for 7 years during his insanity, he nevertheless did not blaspheme God as Belshazzar did. But because Belshazzar blasphemed God, the Holy Spirit left him, and the way of forgiveness for him was closed. Thou wert weighed in the balance and found wanting. Meaning, taking the portion. Thou wert weighed in the balance, Belshazzar, and you found wanting. There was no way of redemption. Can you think of that this evening? Think of it when a man or a woman crosses the line, and even though they're still here, and even though they're still living, they've grieved the Holy Spirit for the last time, and they'll not be saved, and they're not going to be saved. I tell you, that's a terrible thing. And this man here committed it. He committed the unpardonable sin. He done the thing that Jesus warned about. He done the thing the prophets warned about. He went too far, and the Spirit of God went from him. And when the Spirit of God goes, it's gone. And I tell you, it's a terrible thing. Mark 3, verse 29, it says, "But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost shall never be forgiven." Never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. These are the words of Jesus Christ. I tell you, people can cross the line. They can cross the line for the greed of the Holy Spirit for the last time. I guarantee you that you've hardly ever heard a preacher in the last 15 or 20 years preach on the unpardonable sin. I guarantee you, you can tell me you've hardly ever heard of it. But yet Big Ian Paisley preached it. Willie Mullen preached it. W.P. Nickerson preached it. William Branham preached it. All the old preachers in the day gone by preached about the unpardonable sin. They mightn't have seen everything eye to eye, but there's one thing they all knew. It's grieving the Spirit of God for the last time. It's calling the work of God the work of the devil. And I tell you, it's a terrible thing. I want to give you an example here. And I found this story and I want to read you it this evening. And this is an example of a young man that started well. And Paul Youngke Cho here refers to this, and I want to read you it this evening. "I once knew a man who blasphemed against the Holy Spirit and was forsaken by him. And he and I were saved together in the city of Pusan and Korah. And we both preached on the streets. He was such a spirit-filled man that everybody called him Holy Ghost Boy. Many people invited him and wished him to be filled with the Holy Spirit as he was. Later I came to Seoul to become pastor, but he went out into the world. Worse yet, he blasphemed against the Holy Spirit by saying that the things he had experienced up to that time were not the works of the Holy Spirit, but the works of a demon. So the Holy Spirit left him. When he went into the army, he did all wicked things of the devil. Later, however, he was tormented with an extreme agony of heart as if he had been in hell. It seemed that he could hardly bear the pain, so he called me. And when I was pastoring my church in the city of Sudan, this man opened his heart to me, then said that he had been writing with agony of heart. I can still remember his words, Pastor Joel. He uses the word that I won't use here, God, and he uses a certain word, help me. As an old friend, have pity on me and make me get out of this pain. Though I've tried hard, I can neither repent of my sins nor believe in Jesus again." He couldn't do it. "My heart seems to be burning and my soul seems to be in hell several thousand miles from me. So, and he uses God's name again, help me. So I took hold on him and did all my efforts I could to help him repent, only to feel the Spirit of God had already left him." And I tell you, there's people that they say they're Christians, then they turn their back on it, and they go away from it, and they go away from God, and they go away from the things of God, and they speak against the gifts of God, and they speak against the words of You know, there's a scripture talks about it. Those that have tasted of the good word and turned again to their own ways, accept the crucifying Jesus Christ again to the flesh and put him to no good. Brother Brian Freeborn preached that verse one night and explained it well. And I tell you, there's a line people can cross. There's a line people can cross. And there's so many people around the world today, and they say they're coming out. And they say they're no more following the message of the hour. They're coming out, and that's all right. I know there's faults around message churches. I agree with that. I don't believe all the things they're doing or all the things they're saying. But I believe God did send a true prophet. And I believe his message is vindicated and sent by Almighty God. But some of them men, if they want to do whatever they're saying, that's fine. But some of them then cross the line. Some of them cross the line and they go so far, they speak against the gift of God and they speak against the prophet of God and they blaspheme against the works of God and they say it's lies and they say it's made up of the devil. I tell you, that's dangerous stuff. Now, we know the stuff that's not right. We believe that. But it doesn't do away with that which is truth. And it doesn't do away with that which is just a scarecrow. But the message God sent's real. And that message was to turn our hearts back to the original apostolic faith so that we'd be zealous for the Pentecost experience, so that we would know the time we're living in, so that we would know this day and its message. And I tell you, this king called for everybody, didn't he? He called for everybody. Daniel was last on the list. I want you to know that. Daniel wasn't first on the list. Daniel was last on the list. You ever last on the list? I've been last on the list before. And they've everybody but you're last on the list. But I tell you, it doesn't matter if you're last on man's list as long as you're on God's list. Amen. Amen. And I tell you, Daniel was God's voice. And Daniel was God's prophet. Hallelujah. I want to read you these scriptures in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 3. Wherefore I give you an understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but for the Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Spirit to know Jesus. No man can know me save to him whom the Father will reveal him. And no man, no Son will reveal him. And no man can know him save who that God will show him to. I tell you, it's a revelation from God even to get saved. Do you know that? It's the Spirit of God that moves you in a service that you hear the gospel and God takes the blinkers of your eyes and opens your understanding and you call on the Lord Jesus and you're saved. Man can't save man. It would be a failure. It would never work, but God can.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God he said, how beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel. God sent the gospel to save. But it's ultimately the Holy Spirit that takes it. When the Spirit leaves us, there will be no more chances. Such was the state with this King Belshazzar. He found himself. 2 Corinthians 6 and 2 says, for he saith, I have heard of thee in a time accepted. And in a day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. When the people hear the voice of God, how many times did God speak to us before we came? But you know, when you go back in your life, it's only God's mercy that called us more than once. And you know the word of God says, when you tell a man three times, don't tell him again. You're under no obligation to tell a person any more than three times. That's the Bible. It's only God's grace that would call him four or five times. It's only the grace of God. Many of us were called more than three times. I thank God for that. But God won't be guilty. If he's called a man and he doesn't come, God won't be guilty. Let me read you this. The marriage of the Lamb. Let me read. This is a terrible story. But I have to read it. I want you to see this. I want you to get this. William Branham's preaching in a Baptist church, and this young woman, the pastor's daughter, comes up to him. Here's what she says. Here, some time ago, I was preaching. Some of the guys, I spoke to a young lady standing back there. She looked horrible. A minister's daughter, and she met me outside the church. And if she didn't come down on me, she said, you ignorant thing, little sissy sassy. She had painted up lips, short bobbed hair, and so forth. And if I want somebody to talk to me like that, I get somebody that's got some sense, said. Don't you never come into my father's pulpit and never preach things like that again. And I said, you mean to tell me your daddy, a good honest Baptist preacher as he is, and wouldn't preach against that? She said, he didn't hire you to come here. Said he didn't hire me at all. I come by invitation. And she said, I'll never forgive you for it. And I said, that's up to you. I only followed the gospel. Rose bushes was blowing there in the little wind, beautiful young woman. A little later on, about a year later, I passed through the city. I seen the same lady with her skirts hanging down, smoking a cigarette, going down the street. I thought, that's the brother so-and-so's wife or daughter. And I walked across the street, see if I couldn't get to her. She looked up at me and smoking like a cigarette bloated through her nose and said, hello, preacher. And ungodly slang like that. And I said, well, well. She said, take a puff of my cigarette, be a man. Said, aren't you ashamed of yourself? She reached down in her pocketbook and said, then have a cigarette. And I said, shaming you to offer God's servant a cigarette. And she said, then maybe you'll take a drink of my bottle. And I said, please don't say it. And I looked at her and I couldn't keep from crying because her daddy is a great man. And I looked at her and I thought, oh my, she thought she had plenty of time. I started to walk on. I couldn't keep the tears out of my eyes. I walked on. She said, wait a minute. I said, yes, ma'am. She walked back. I was almost ashamed to be talking to her on the street. People passing by. She walked up. She said, you know what you told me that night? And I said, I'll always remember. She said, I want to tell you, preacher, you was right. She said, I grieved the Holy Spirit the last time. Now here is the remark the woman made to me, and I never forget it. As long as I live, she said, he was dealing with me that night, but I said when I turned him down that time, I was lost. Said, my heart has been hard. I don't care for church nor nothing else. I cuss my daddy every day. And she said, I can see my mother's soul fry in hell like a pancake and laugh at it. That's grieving the Holy Spirit for the last time. Think of it. I tell you, when you are told the message and do nothing about it, it's a dangerous thing. And many people hear the truth from God's word. And there's people in here and you've warned people and you've told people. And when you've told somebody you're not responsible no more, it's up to them. The responsibility is on them. And when the watchman watches and the watchman warns the people, the Bible says that his blood cannot be required upon the watchman's hands because the watchman's been faithful. And this Belshazzar grieved the Holy Spirit for the last time. I want you to see the fall here of Babylon and the doom of Babylon. And this is the writing that was written, meeny, meeny, tickle your farson, chapter 5, verse 25. Meeny, meeny, you farson, this is the interpretation of thing, meaning God have numbered thy kingdom and finished it. You can put that picture up, brother. Take a lowered weight in the balance and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and give to the Medes and Persians. Now God already had prophesied to his grandfather this would happen. It was already foretold by the prophet of God. I see things happening today and people wonder why it's happening, but God already foretold it. And it shouldn't be a wonder to us, it's been foretold. And the prophet in our day said a squeeze will come upon the true people of God. And it'll come from that so-called church. And they'll persecute the real seed. The false will persecute the real. Just like all through the Bible. Esau and Jacob, Cain and Abel, the whole way right up to Jesus and Judas Iscariot. Amen. Yes. One persecutes the other. Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, I tell you, we're at the end time. We're at the end time when apostasy's right. I found an old book the other day. It's a really, really old book. A brother told me about it. I've got it. This tells you all about the Jesuits, how they were instructed to infiltrate the Pentecostal churches, how they were instructed to learn to speak in tongues and do the things that the Pentecostals made the evidence. And they've deceived thousands today. Now, it doesn't do away with the genuine gift, but they got in there. And listen to me this evening. A great Pentecostal leader in 1969 prophesied of this coming event. And the things he prophesied matches exactly to the message William Branham preached, called the Anointed Ones of the End Time. Here's what he said, and I'm just giving you a brief of it. He said there will be a time of great teachers coming, men with powerful gifts coming. And they will operate great signs and wonders, and they're coming. And this time is coming, and they'll teach well and they'll start off well. But once they get the confidence of the people, they will bring in false teaching. Is that not this day? Remember what I'm saying tonight. Remember, I won't name them, but two leading world evangelists today living. One a woman, very beautiful woman to look at, that's on television, a young woman. And another man that blows in people. You know who I'm talking about tonight. And you listen to some of the things they're preaching and the people that's going after them. But they were both photographed going hand in hand into the Vatican. And when it was brought out in the news mediator, why were they going hand in hand? And people reported that they were having an affair. They both replied back that they had an appointment in the Vatican. Now, why would two leading evangelists have appointments in the Vatican except they were Jesuits? And I put to you tonight in this service that there's Jesuits at work today. And people don't realize they are Jesuits, but they are. And they've infiltrated even every movement. Even this end time message movement has been infiltrated by Jesuit priests. And I know that to be a fact. And that man that invited me to go over there to New York was telling me the whole story about it. His best friend was friends with that man that wrote that book. I think I mentioned it here before. And he said they were afraid of William Branham because he knew who they were. And when them seals opened, God exposed the Antichrist. That's what he done. He exposed them. And the devil knew that. So there's no way he was going to come from outside. He had to come from within to infiltrate it and bring in false teachings. And they're right today across the world. And what's happened, brothers and sisters? Listen to me this evening. God's dealing with me with these things, I'm telling you. They've got away from the simplicity of the gospel, which the prophet of God told them to preach. And he said, don't try to interpret these things. Leave them and preach Jesus Christ and live a godly life. But they didn't do that.
Amen.
They didn't do that. And that's why there's so many divisions today. And it's the devil. But God will have a people. You remember, God will have a people. Thank God he'll have a people tonight. This interpretation of Daniel changes the words Euphorson to Perez, which is a singular of Euphorson. The change helps the interpretation because the continents written PRS on the wall were the same as those used for Persians. Showing where Daniel got the words, the Medes and Persians. The Medes and Persians at that time being a dual kingdom. The words Mene, Mene, Tekel, Euphorson translated into English, meaning numbered, wed, and division. Daniel interpreted thus. Now look at verse 29. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. 32 years of age. So 62, praise God. 62 years of age. Thanks, brother. Isn't that wonderful? Now, we're all right for a bit of time yet, aren't we? I can't help. See this watch. 4:25. Are we all right for time? I have loads more. I want you to see this invasion. I want you to see Cyprus invading here. After all that's happened, I want you to see that Cyprus invades. And there's a great river that runs through this great building and this great city that they've made up over these years. And that was their way of protection from people coming in. But Cyprus decoys it. I tell you, it's great. While they're having their big party, he's at work. Some say he made a canal and he diverted the water to it. Some say he diverted it off to another place, but he diverted it. And when Cyprus diverted the water, and while Belshazzar, they're all having the big time and the big night, and God has written on the wall, Cyprus is ready to invade. All because Daniel the prophet foretold them, you're going to be taken over by the Medes and Persians. And God did it right away. And when the river drained out, and all the water drained out, like Cyprus' army marched up into the town in dry land. Ain't that something? Amen. I tell you, that's something, isn't it? That's like the children of Israel when they went through the Red Sea and dry ground. Praise God. Now let me get you back to this word for a moment. Meaning, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. That's what it means. Tekel, thou Belshazzar art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Persians, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. When God in his mercy sends the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts, if we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, we shall be saved. We can repent of our sins and be forgiven by the precious blood of Jesus. But if the Spirit is not moving on a man or a woman, they'll never be saved. You can get them to do a wee conversion. You can write their name in a book, but they're still not saved. They'll come in on a Sunday, they can write their name in a book, and they go out on a Monday, they'll still drink, they'll still smoke, because they're not really born again. But if the Spirit of God moves in a man, and if the Spirit of God moves in a woman, and they pray the sinner's prayer from a genuine heart, they can be born again. And on a Monday, they'll be a new creature in Christ Jesus. But it has to be the Spirit of God. And I tell you, we can't do it of ourselves. If I could, I'd do it. I'd convert the whole world if I could do it, but I can't. Only the Lord can. But that doesn't mean we don't preach. And we don't make excuses. We have to go forward. And whether they'll hear it or reject it, we must go forward. They must hear. Noah preached it even though they rejected, but he was faithful. And God wants his people to be faithful. The Spirit is not moving on a man or a woman. They'll never be saved. The Spirit had given Belshazzar his last warning. The Spirit had left him. The hour of destruction was upon Belshazzar. There was no way out. Today, all who do not have Jesus will find themselves in the same situation. Now this is the age of grace, when whosoever repents of their sins. Romans 10, let me read you verse 8 and 10. But what saith it? The word is now thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth on the righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Salvation's simple. Salvation is simple. I've heard people preach sermons about being born again, and you'd need a doctor's degree to follow them. You wouldn't know what they're talking about. I've heard people preach on the blood, and they never preach a thing on the blood. The gospel is simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. And if the Spirit of God moves a man, and the Spirit of God moves a woman, and they follow these instructions, God will do the rest. And they will be born again. Hearing this interpretation, King Belshazzar went out of his mind and ordered that Daniel should be rewarded. That very night, however, the city of Babylon fell. On the same night, Belshazzar blasphemed God. Media Persian armies charged the course of the Euphrates River, which has passed through the middle of the city. Then as soon as the river dried up, the enemy invaded it like a surging wave. Have you got the picture, brother? Where do you see this picture? We're going to turn to Isaiah in a moment. And I want you to see this now. God's word's wonderful. God, this just all came together. Now listen to me. I don't know if you're getting it like I'm getting it. But 175 years before this happened, and before this man Belshazzar was even born, God through his prophet Jeremiah and God through his prophet Isaiah foretold Cyprus would do it. Foretold it. Praise God. That night the king was slain and Babylon fell. When Belshazzar's father, King Nabonidus, heard the news, he rushed with an army to rescue his son. But he too was defeated and he was captured and became a prisoner. Thus, as Jeremiah and Isaiah prophesied, Babylon was destroyed, for God had decreed over 175 years that city should be taken by a man that wasn't even born at that time. And that man was Cyrus. Listen to this in Isaiah 44, verse 28. That saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built on the temple, thy foundation shall be laid. Chapter 45 of Isaiah, verse 1 to 4. Thus saith the Lord till his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him. And I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of the secret places that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. God foretold through his prophets that Belshazzar, he's got the message, you're waiting in the palace and find one, the spirit has left you, there's no hope for you, you're going to go, you're going to perish, tonight you're going to be cut off. And not only are you going to be cut off, but Daniel already had prophesied that the kingdom would be lost and given to another. He already told them. And you remember when we looked at the first image, the head of gold and the silver and the brass and down to the feet the clay. You remember the interpretation that as it went down through it, it got weaker and weaker and weaker right down to the end time. And is that not what it's like in Christianity today? Would you not agree with me tonight that across this land there's a weakness to the strength of Christianity like there used to be? How many believes that tonight? There's nobody taking a stand today like they used to be. Where's your Ian Paisley today that stood up in the House of Parliament and named the Pope the Antichrist? Where are they? You'll not find them. They've been washed down and washed out. Where's your men today that'll do it? I'll tell you what you've got today. You've got men that'll go and visit the Pope. Yes. Benny Hinn visited the Pope. Benny Hinn said he's one of the greatest evangelists. Billy Graham even said to see him. Now that's written and it's true. And I'm not taking away from what Billy Graham done, what he compromised. There's no doubt about that. And I tell you, the Pope's no great gospel preacher and the Pope's no great evangelist. He is the Antichrist. He's a man of sin. He's a son of perdition. Jerry Red Sox. And I tell you, we need to be against him from the big toe to the top of the head. Paisley's words are true. Amen. And I tell you, he needs to be exposed on every occasion. I want to tell you, there's thousands today in darkness. There's thousands today held in bondage with priestcraft across this nation and across the world today. And the priest and Rome's not happy with that. They're not happy with the subjects they've got, but they're infiltrating Protestant churches today so that they can bring in damnable heresies, doctrines of fables from that came from man. And I tell you, you know one of the great things that's being preached today amongst Pentecostal movements? Listen to me tonight. Many of the great leaders today is preaching this, and you can go and check it. They're preaching that Jesus' soul had to go to hell that he could be saved. They're more or less saying that Jesus wasn't divine. When God left him, he could have... I want to tell you that's a lie of the devil. I want you to know tonight that Jesus never went to hell to get saved. My Bible says he was without sin. He knew no sin. He's a spotless and blameless Son of God. He went to hell to save us from going. And he took the keys of the devil. And he rose on the third day, thank God. You remember he said, I have power to lay my life down. And I have power to take it up again. Now I'm finishing. I'm coming to close. Can you see the picture? You see this great river? And I tell you, these men invade it. They invade it. When God sets the time of fulfillment of his word, the most impregnable fortress must fall. Cyprus decided to use strategy to overcome this mighty fortress. He decided to drain the river Euphrates that flowed through the city and march his soldiers in its bed. To this end, some say he constructed a large artificial lake. Others say he constructed a new channel for a river to drain the water away for away. Invisible from the tops of the towers of the walls. And they say he did this undercover. He did this for they couldn't see him. And you remember he had many mighty men. And remember this above all. Remember this. God chose him. And God was with him. So it was going to happen. That's the thing to remember most of all. And when Belshazzar's got the party going and his soldiers off guard, Cyprus moved to carry out the plan. And I tell you, he carried the plan out well. And Belshazzar lost his life that night. And he lost his kingdom. The kingdom was bad, but it wasn't the worst thing. The Bible says, there's an old saying, a friend of mine lent me a book that his old grandmother had, and I used to read it, and she had lovely sayings and rhymes in the book, and the book said to lose one's wealth is much, to lose one's health is more, but to lose one's soul is such a loss that no man can restore. I tell you, someone has suffered the loss of one's soul. To loss wealth's a lot, and to loss the health's more. But to loss one's soul, no man can restore. I want to tell you in this service tonight, and anybody that's listening into my voice tonight, hear me this evening. The most important thing on this earth for any man or any woman is to be born again of the Spirit of Almighty God, is to have an experience with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's to know that you're right for eternity. It's to know that you've made your peace with God while you're here, while you're in your right mind, while you have the chance, while the Spirit of God's still speaking, while the Spirit of God's still moving, while we're living in the day of God's grace, we need to come to Jesus Christ. Let's stand our feet tonight. Praise God. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Praise God. Isn't the Lord good? You could go more into the history of these things, but I don't want to take too much time up and bore you or anything going into it all. But I hope I've given you enough to get the picture. I hope you can see tonight this handwriting on the wall. It's terrible. Meany, meany, tickle your parcel iron, wet in the balance, and find one. If you're in this service tonight and you'd say, brother, will you pray for me? Just raise your hand to the Lord, whatever your need is tonight. And if there's someone listening in this recording, you respond. Listen, those listening in, respond. Call upon the Lord while he is near. Forsake your evil ways and turn to Jesus Christ. And Heavenly Father, we humbly do call upon you tonight. Father, we thank you for your word and for your great servant Daniel. How we bless your lovely name. Yes. That you always have a man at the right time, in the right season, in the right place. We thank you this evening for this great word of truth. We thank you how you've opened up this book, that we can see these great truths tonight, Lord. Father, I ask for the hands raised in this very room. Lord, that thou indeed will meet the very need. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Father, if there's a man or a woman or a boy or a girl listening in this recording tonight, may the great Holy Spirit take the working upon them. Oh Lord, maybe this is their last call. Lord, we don't know your God, and there's none besides thee. Maybe it's the voice for the last time. Somebody will get the chance to hear. We don't know, Lord. But we ask that the great Holy Spirit will give them the saving grace tonight. And that you'll bring them to the saving knowledge of the truth. And they'll call upon the name of the Lord and be saved tonight. Father, we would humbly ask you for our children tonight. For all that's near and dear to us this evening. For the son, for the daughter, for the aunt or the uncle, or the grandson or the granddaughter tonight. We would plead the precious blood of our Lord Jesus upon them. We would ask their soul will be saved. And Lord, you'll bring them in Jesus' precious name. Father, again this evening, bless and strengthen your own people. Lord, for any that's laid aside sick or working tonight, may you touch those that are sick and heal them and raise them up. And for those that have had the work, give them a blessed time, Lord. Give them strength and meet their very every need in Jesus' precious name. Now, Father, this evening, while we come to the close of this service, bless your own people and confirm your own word amongst us. And we will be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus Christ's lovely name. Amen. 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 God bless each one. God bless you.